everyone. Last year, first them, I was talking about errors in embedded development. And I would like to repeat a part of the experience that we have had last year. Please think about an embedded project you are working on or you have been working on recently. Lock it in your memory. No cheating, you lock a project. Now, how many OpenSSL versions are there in that project? Raise your hand if there are zero. Like 10 people? Okay. Raise your hand if there's one. Like 20 people? Raise your hand if you are sure that there are two or more? Like less? And raise your hand if you do not know. That's the majority of the room. Okay, I think there are a little less people who do not know. But still the majority. Why the question is important? You will see later. And a bonus question for people who knew how many versions of OpenSSL they had. Whom can list the total, who of you has a full list of dependencies of that project? Okay, around 20 people, congratulations to you. Now, who is Marta and why she's talking about such things and asking such intimate questions? I'm a security researcher. And then what to expect from the 2024. Now, let's start from regulations. Regulations, that plural is a little bit too much here, one regulation. Because that's the 25 minutes version of the talk. So, the regulation is the CRA. Now, one slight simplification of CRA. To your lawyers, I'm simplifying. The CRA is adding security, mandatory security requirements to all products that will be put on the market in the European Union by the requirement of the CE mark. The CE mark, you know it, on all electronics you have the CE mark. It's extending the CE mark to add security mandatory requirements. Examples of the things that are mandatory: no release with known vulnerabilities. S-bombs, secure configuration by default, updates by default for all users, and so on and so on. There are two pages of those requirements. In the final version, it doesn't apply to open source projects themselves, in most cases. It applies to products that are integrated in open source. All products, in fact. It will require paperwork, mainly risk analysis and the vulnerability management process. And what this paperwork will be, I cannot tell you right now because it's going to be defined further. As for most of the things C-related, you have self-assessment by default, but there are certain classes of products that will require more, including external security audit. That's an expensive thing if you haven't done one before. And that's hot news because we have a final version. It's expected to be voted next month. And from next month, there will be 3 years till the final implementation. Now, the current version excludes non-monetized open source project. That's a big simplification also. So if you are contributing to an open source project, it doesn't apply to you, but for all integrators, embedded people are integrating open source in their products. So basically it applies to the whole embedded. There will be risk analysis to do for all components that you include. And that's why the question of what do you have as components in your project is important. And now the big question for the whole embedded open source community, is everyone going to do this paperwork alone? Or are we going to do the paperwork the open source way and share the documentation prepared for each single dependency? It's a big question for 2024, for all of us. If you want to know more, if I scared you enough, I've written an article published at AWN last year, so it covers the first version. And for your trip back from FOSDEM, there's a nice read, the final version of the regulation, just 189 pages. So, but it's not boring. I didn't fall asleep. It's not boring at all. Now, let's go to trends, apart from the regulation. CVE numbers. What is a CVE? CVE is a way to name vulnerabilities, public ones. It stands for Common Vulnerabilities Enumeration, and the number of registered public vulnerabilities is growing up. And in 2023, it went up yet again. We have yet another year of a record high number of CVEs. I haven't been splitting embedded, non-embedded, but for embedded, that's the same statistics. The number of vulnerabilities is going high in a very important way. Now, a complex problem of funding of security work. In the recent 2-3 years, and there was a big part of this process happening in 2023, there are external funds paying for security work in open source projects. Two main examples of that, OpenSSF Alpha Omega project that funded, I've chosen examples from the embedded field. OpenSSL Rust Python Eclipse Foundation. And the Sovereign Tech Fund that has financed a part of the work for the Yocto project. And other projects too, but in the embedded field. Because of this funding, because of the pressure of the regulations that are happening not only in Europe, in the US there's also different pressure, but in the same direction, we are seeing the update of processes in different projects. An example of that, the Yocto project has now a security team and working security process. In relation to all that, we also have tools that are either being implemented or they're being used more and more frequently. For example, the SBOM generation, either in the CycloneDX or in the SPEDX format, that is getting more and more common option in embedded projects. Yet another example from our field, SPDX is now generated by default in the POCI reference distribution in the Yocto project. And similar tooling on the dependency checking and CVEs, you have that in the platforms like the Dependabot on GitHub, standalone tools also. The tools are happening and the pressure to use them is happening too. And another big question for all of us, all that work, it requires someone to do it. To do the security work, to do the processes, to look at the results of tooling, even if they are the CI, you have to have someone looking at the results. How can we do it long term, and especially how we can fund it long term? Those external funds may disappear one day. Big question for 2024. Now, for the events, vulnerabilities, and incidents, I had to cut things because I want to have time for questions, and it's only 25 minutes, so I had to cut. And this is what I have chosen for this year. HTTP2 Rapid Reset, also known as CVE-2023-44487. This one was actually exploited in practice between August and October of last year. And it's a vulnerability in the HTTP2 implementation, or a little bit in the specification itself also. And if a client creates a Perl stream, HTTP2 allows Perl streams for the same connection. If the client creates a Perl stream and just immediately after sends a message to close that Perl stream, this is generating a high load on the server. The creation of stream is pretty expensive. And as a result, you get a denial of service. Most HTTP servers have been affected, and there was a big number of releases happening in October 2023. What is interesting in the whole story is that the servers that are more for the embedded market, so with careful resource allocation, with limitations of number of clients or limitations of streams per client, they were had better results, were less vulnerable to this issue. For example, Light HTTP, they clearly state they are not vulnerable to that issue. I'm providing a link to the NVD entry for that problem with there are dozens of links for different projects with information on what they did on or what they expect users to use as configuration options to prevent such things in the future. And then a little bit of fun, or fun. It's either funny or it's frightening, depends on how you read it. The whole thing happened in 2022, but it has been published in 2023, so we can say we put it in 2023. This was a long story, but in short, some trains in Poland weren't starting after maintenance. And the maintenance company took a team to do a reverse engineering on the firmware. And what they figured out, that there were things like train was locking with a vague error message after staying in one place for a long time, or the train was reporting errors after staying at some GPS positions which by coincidence turned out to be GPS positions of workshops of the competitors of the manufacturer. That was, in some trace there was a log based on a date. Well, related to the CRA, but also related to all the things happening on the market. Until now, embedded developers were choosing their dependencies. Well, it does the work, I can take it, if the license matters. In the future, it may be that license matters won't be the only condition. There may be also a condition, does this project have security policy? Is this project providing regular security updates for 5 years or more? And there may be the need to do the triage in your dependency list in some surprising places also. On the SBOM side, last year we have had SBOMs being generated in more and more places. Generating SBOM is cool, but it's even more cool to actually use them for something. So I think that's going to happen this year. And then on the pure vulnerability side, we are still seeing products being developed to be in an internal network not connected to the internet, and then someone puts a GSM modem in there. I'm expecting a few funny vulnerabilities like that. Then the hardware series is going to continue. Not only chips, but also firmware. Have a look at the size of the firmware of your network card, or your graphic card, or your GPU, or other thing, or phone chipset. That amount of software means there are bugs. If they are bugs, they are also likely security bugs. I expect that maybe not this year, but sometime in the future, we'll have a big issue related to firmware in one of those categories. My personal pick is network cards. A packet to make things funny. And then there may be also issues in places you do not expect them. Quite many open source projects have never issued a CVE before. If they have never issued a CVE, users have a tendency to not update them. And not having a CVE doesn't mean that there aren't any bugs. In fact, quite the contrary. So I expect that we may have an issue of a very serious problem happening in one of those projects nobody has been looking into before. And then everyone will be trying to figure out how many copies of that project they have. To sum up, that's going to be an interesting year. Do you have questions?
Thank you for the interesting talk. I have one question about the legislation, and is there a clause are there different regulations for real security bugs and denial of service bugs? So I would say if you have some warmable hole in your software which is network connected or something which is a denial of service, it's for me, it's a different class, because in one case, so probably you get my point.
So there are two parts of answer for your question. The CRA is not the only regulation that is currently in progress. And you know that there are European elections in June. So things are being rushed. So there's the CRA, but there's also the PLD. There's the regulation related to dynamic networking, there's the regulation relating to AI, and all of them have certain things. On the typical vulnerability and DOS, DOS, if it's exponential, like in the case of that HTTP rapid reset, it's a vulnerability. So I classify it with a typical vulnerability. If it were to happen in a network device, that also enters into the other regulations quite probably. So there may be things that apply in different places depending on the actual use even of the same software.
Hi there, thank you very much for this talk. I think this is probably the most important talk to me as we design and manufacture embedded hardware for startups and SMEs. I'm desperately concerned about the situation. The timeline you lay out is scary enough, but you will know that we in the UK have IoT connected device law coming into power at the end of April. So we have 3 months to be compliant to this. There's a £10 million penalty potentially to us, or a percentage of global revenue. And that, you know, I will say broadly, not one of the startups or SMEs we work with, and indeed ourselves, are in a position to deliver on this stuff, which scares the heck out of me. And I'd love to know who we need to be talking to work together to try to look at this.
I haven't shared the scary part of the theory about the penalties, but in all cases you are not able to pay them, so. that's another example. In different places there are different regulations being brought in the light. For me, as an open source community, we have the only way to solve it all together and prepare the whole paperwork all together. Otherwise, the big ones will be able to pay the whole paperwork, but the small ones, not really. I think we are out of time, unfortunately.
Thank you.